presentation. We're going to talk about God as the Trinity. We talked about the four sources of authorities: scripture, tradition, reason, experience. And we look at the doctrine of Trinity from these four aspects. So if there is something that surpasses our understanding, that is the concept of Trinity. And there have been many critiques of that it is mathematical and metaphysical speculation. It is falling back to polytheism. And the only difference with paganism, it is even more against reason. But therefore, Trinity is something that is distinctive to Christianity, is a great stumbling block to other religions, and even religions very close to Christianity. For Muslims, it is a great stumbling block, and they have the wrong understanding that in the Christian Trinity there are Jesus, God, Jesus, and Mary, actually. And it is common false understanding. So many religions do not understand. Also, the Jews are extremely monotheistic. For them, there is only one is God, and God as a father, and Jesus is not considered a God. But when you come to the idea of Trinity, then God has revealed about himself, and he has revealed something new about us. We believe this is a divine part of divine revelation, and it is a mystery. When we talk about God, then we talk about God who is not a subject to our, can't subjected to our reason. And it is a borderline case when we try to describe something that is actually indescribable. St. Augustine of Hippo said beautifully, "Si comprehendis non est Deus."
I cannot see the teacher. Is it possible for the video to point on the teacher, please?
Camera likes it. Okay, let's wait for the camera, but the camera refuses. Okay, Augustine basically what says that if you can understand God, then he is not God anymore, basically. Let's look at Corinthians 13:12. 1 Corinthians 13:12. So 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. But God still tells us, seek my face. Psalm 27:8. Seek my face. And Anselm of Canterbury said, I seek thee, O God. But God wants us to seek him, and that's the job of Troubled soldiers to find things about God, and because God has encouraged to seek him. So reason, what the experience says, and experience has an important role to say. So how did the doctrine was developed, that the doctrine of Trinity is not intellectually necessary? Well, let's say something cool and new about God. That wasn't the necessity. Actually, it is a conclusion to what we see when Jesus healed, when Jesus gave back vision, or when Jesus forgave sins, or when Thomas confesses, "My Lord, my God." Jesus doesn't back off and correct Thomas, accepts actually the worship Thomas pays to Jesus, but just gives to Jesus. If God, Jesus is worshipped as God, if he does divine works that Isaiah prophesied that the blind will see and the lame will walk, so then do we have two gods or one God? Or what does it mean, what God means? When the church starts to proclaim Jesus as God, and that we worship him, sing him hymns, and bow down before him, then the church had to explain how and why is it possible to worship Jesus as God. It was our experience of Jesus that set it off. And now we have to explain how Jesus is God, because clearly he did things as God. And Jews who were very strict monotheists would refuse to worship other gods were the first disciples of Jesus who acknowledged Jesus as their Lord and acknowledged him as God. So the question arises, how a transcendent God became flesh in Jesus of Nazareth, and now how the same God lives through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the believers. And the Trinity, doctrine of Trinity explains it all, that God became flesh, lived among us, and now lives in us through his Holy Spirit. So the historically revealed and experienced thing has put into words. Now, the next aspect is scriptures. According to the Bible, basically, Trinity is not in the Bible. The word is not in the Bible. But we could find the signs of Trinitarian nature of God and the three hypotheses of hypostasis of God, the Greek word hypostasis. In the Old Testament, God reveals himself as a person. God acts as a person. God is the wisdom. Also, God is through his wisdom, through his word, through his spirit. The spirit of God is in the Old Testament. And there's talks about the right hand of God. And even the synagogues, they do not depict God, but the right hand of God is depicted sometimes in the Jewish synagogues. So God has personal characteristics, and God works through these, either through his spirit, through his wisdom, through his right hand. And in the New Testament, you have to go through these scriptures yourself, but in the New Testament we see several Trinitarian formulas. In the great Great Commission in Matthew 28. It is that the baptismal formula that into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now the 13:13, the love of God, so that is the wasn't used as benediction at the end of 2 Corinthians, and we use it, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. For 1 Corinthians 12:4-6 said that it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. Now the spiritual gifts, brother, 4-6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So Spirit, Lord, and now there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So in these four senses, we have the Spirit, Lord, and God. So Galatians 4:6, God has sent the Spirit of the Son who calls Abba Father. It's another Trinitarian passage, isn't it? Father, the sends the Son, and through the Spirit calls our Father, the God. Yeah, Abba Father. There is a dynamism that needs explanation. And several other Trinitarian passages. Now, so there are references in the Bible. And now the fourth source of authority, which is tradition. The church coins the doctrine of Trinity, and according to this doctrine, there are three persons in one God. And the God the Father is not the same as the Son, is not the same as the Father, and Spirit is not the same as the Son or the Father, but it's still one God. But he is all one God. And there comes a term of the persona, which is a person in Latin, persona. Again, the Tertullian is the one who came up with it. Persona also meant a role or mask. So person, mask, or role in the theater. A Greek word for persona is hypostasis. And the second Latin word is substantia. Substantia, Latin word, substance. And this is the word that signifies the union or the unity of Godhead. Trinitas is also the word that Tertullian came up with. And the Latin says that they can be distinct, but divided, where is it? Okay, where is the slide? Okay, they are distinctive, but not separated. You cannot separate them from each other, but yet they are distinct. So God is present and Son and Spirit are present, but they at the same time they are distinct from each other. The early church has used different metaphors how to describe it. There are the so that there are different ways, like but that nature symbols, which are our sources or shamrock, or all the images are the prism which is breaking into different rays of light, but all images are very limited. One of these persons or personas is Jesus, that would teach that Jesus has two natures, the divine and the human nature. So two natures, but it is not 50-50, but it is 100% and times that God is 100% God and 100% man. So we just say fully God and fully man. And this doctrine is generally made a doctrine on the Council of Chalcedon in the year 451. So it takes like 400 years to come up with it. It was took time to call together the church council, where bishops came together from all the churches. So the Greek word term homoousion, which means of the same substance. The Nicene Council defines that the Father and the Son are of the same substance. When the Athenians fights against the Arianism, which is very popular, who say that God, Jesus is almost God. Yeah. It's higher than he's the first born, but he has not been a pre-existent God in the same way. It's almost, he's the first born of God. But if he's not fully God, Christ didn't exist before. So Christ is kind of created, the first born. Arians wanted to add that Christ is homoiousios, is similar to God. So one iota change, that homo is of the same substance, not of similar substance. So this one change of one letter brought a lot of strife and bloodshed into the church. So this much we cared about theology. Well, it was principle was Christ pre-existent God before his incarnation? That was the main question. And homoousion says yes, he was. He was of the same. He is of the same substance with God. And Arian said no, he's homoousios. But actually Arianism still exists, but it was, virtually lost the discussion. Another term is perichoresis, which is a Greek term, which is known for the Eastern Church, Orthodox Church, that they means that they are of the same mind, that Holy Spirit doesn't, for example, act separately, that one person doesn't do anything that other persons of the Trinity do not know about or do not agree of, but so it's a full harmony within Godhead. So the Nicene Council defines the kind of the Trinity, or it says that we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, so that the Nicene Christ, the maker of the heaven of earth, and of the Son, said that the God, Jesus said, God, Father, begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us, for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. So it confirms the divinity of Jesus, but also his humanity. That's because the next next controversy comes they tend to forget that is a God. Yes, Jesus is God, but they forgot that he was incarnate. So incarnation is extremely important, and this is how he became fully man. The Synagogue said, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. There are also Trinitarian heresies. Now, when the doctrine is different, then he rejects certain heresies. One was adoption, that Jesus is adopted by God, but denies Jesus' divinity again. Modalism is another heresy, according to that the three persons of God are different forms of action of one God. God acted as the Father in creation, as the Son of salvation, and the Holy Spirit in sanctification. The Sabellianism is one form of modalism. God changing his masks. Modalism tries to define the monotheistic beliefs that God reveals himself at different times, different forms. So that in creation he was revealed as God, in salvation, Son and Spirit in sanctification. So it's a modalism, the different modes of God are in action in different periods of history. No, but the church rejected that teaching very strongly. As we talked already about that Arianism, the most popular heresy that Jesus is similar to God in everything except his infinity. God, as they said, Son is a created being. He was first born from God and there was time when the Son was not, when the Son did not exist. So that's Arianism. Now, another important word is filioque, and of the Son. Filioque means in Latin, and from the Son. The filioque clause. The Nicene Creed, the Western Church, adds the filioque clause, and of the Son. From the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, and the Western Church adds, and from the Son. And that was the cause of departure between the Eastern and Western part of the Church. Today, it seems strange. Probably it wasn't because of this weather. It was more so back, it actually was the other strings, that why didn't you ask us when you added? But you didn't listen to us. We told, but you didn't say that. I don't want to. You are hurrying ahead. Why didn't you love me? But you didn't take. It took too much time, and we didn't wait until. There were many others. So it was kind of not talking to each other properly. So there's never a plate over one word, but it is. It caused a strife, because they didn't manage to talk about it, they go their own ways. So everything proceeds from the Father is the doctrine of the Orthodox Church, but the Latin edition of Filioque brings a different little it brings a slight theological difference. Now it seems like things are well settled now, but theology always happens in waves, and the strong part of Reformation that it brings the scripture to the light. But when you have the doctrine that is not written into the Bible, like a Trinity, then so the sola scriptura doctrine, then there were those for whom Trinity was unbiblical and therefore unnecessary. So there are moves because of the sola scriptura understanding, and they start to talk about Jesus only. And they and it was the newly found old Pharisees, Valdesians, Juan de Valdez, were the anti-Trinitarians. And Karl Barth helped later on help Reformation to come back to Trinity, because the Trinity was not any more important, because it wasn't biblical. And it was so unreasonable, and it's not in the Bible. Maybe it's not. It wasn't abolished, well, not sort of rejected totally, but Reformation did not turn much attention to it anymore. It was still preserved, but on the peripheries. And the last term, which is kind of rocket science. So the Trinity is the working Trinity, and economic Trinity and essential Trinity. Okay. When Jesus is baptized in the waters of Jordan, he goes into water, heaven is opened, and there is a voice coming down from heaven, "You are my beloved son." And the Holy Spirit comes in the form of a dove. This is economic Trinity in action, Trinity in action. God who speaks and blesses, Spirit who comes, and sons in obedience goes to the baptism. And there are some other places where we see it when Trinity in action, on the cross, for example. And this shows how the persons have the function. God is always the one who sends. And the role is of the Son is to be obedient and to redeem, and Holy Spirit brings sanctification. And we see of Trinity in action, basically. And the essential Trinity, how Trinity is within itself, is a total mystery. Where God's internal life is the essential Trinity. Can we grasp it? How Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is praying to God, he feels rejected by God. Let this cup pass me. This is how God exists within itself, how God exists in Trinity, how he has what one will, how that one will is achieved. That Jesus really, as a human being, as fully God, actually struggles with the idea of going on the cross. And Jesus is not a magical person or super person. He is fully man. He became flesh. He was obedient, and then he rose from the death. But he didn't become a ghost. He's still a person in a new resurrection body. So a man is part of Trinity. God, this it is always Jesus is actually a man, as part of Trinity experience. Is he has a resurrection body, which is also part of God. It is divine experience. So the God knows what it means to be man. That God involves us all, and the same God is within us, among us, and this is a wonder. Well, let's come back to reason now. So we had an excursion to essential Trinity and reason that tries to reject the idea of Trinity, you know, in the beginning. Again, makes us to. So think that maybe this should be, and it is kind of logical, even if it's a person understanding. When Isaiah prophesied in the Romans, quotes that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us read. Isaiah 45, verse 20. Isaiah 45:18-23. For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in the land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Gather together and come. Assemble, you fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the instant past? What is it? I, the Lord. And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, by my mouth has uttered all integrity of word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear. And now the same text, how is it quoted in Romans 14:11? Romans 14:11. It is for we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. There is issues with Russian translation again. And Philippians 2:11. Only shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God. If we had worshipped something wrong, Philippians 2:10-11. If we earlier would have bowed in front of any other God, we would have been idolatrous. But Philippians actually puts Jesus into the place Jesus into Isaiah's context. So physical and material world aren't on the Christ. So no doubt that Bible biblical Christology says that Christ is a Lord, Christ is God, and salvation comes through Christ, and Philippians connects it to Isaiah 45. What actually our reason comes along because Trinity is the only logical way to explain who Jesus is, who came, what, why he came, and how it all works. Okay, thanks God. We've got so far. Next year about other things like Christ, Christology and pneumatology. And I will still expect your reading report, your essay, and exam. Don't leave things to the last minute. And if you have problems, then talk to me before the deadline. Okay, before the deadline. Okay, if you need extra, don't be a perfectionist. Don't think that your job has to be perfect. Hand in what you have. Do what you can. Yeah? Do what you can. Don't ignore it. Don't push it aside. And I pray that God will give you everything you need. And open his character to you, his beauty to you, his wisdom to you. Let us pray, and then we are going to hear from our guest. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of together, although it's very short, but you are with us. We thank you for this, and we thank you that you have taught us through each other and through your word and through the theologians and through the books. But we ask you that you bless the students while they're writing their works, and please accomplish in their lives their calling and accomplish everything in their lives when they started their studies and fulfill your purposes and lives. Thank you for the wonderful work of your spirit in everyone's life.